At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello, friends. We're back again. It's Fightful.com. It's August 30th, 2024. I am Adriel Pearl. It's time for your TNA Emergence post-show. Cresta Starr is with me. She took in all the action, as did I. I'm going to break it down for you and talk to you all about it right off the bat. You know what? Let's change up the format, shall we? Leave a thumbs up on the video. Let's get you right off the bat. If you haven't already, subscribe to us here at youtube.com/Fightful. The best thing you can do and the best $5 in the business that you can give is over on FightfulSelect.com. Okay. All right. Cresta Starr is here. How are you doing?
I am sports entertained. I'm doing well. I had a good night. How are you doing, Joel Pearl? What did you think of Emergence?
Doing okay. The show was a big mixed bag. There were things that I loved, things that I didn't love. We're going to talk about that and a whole lot more. If you want to get your say in it, by the way, you can go ahead, donate a super chat. Any question or statement gets read on the air with that super chat donation, or you can go to humperchats.com. I didn't do it yesterday because I was off my game and I realized after the show that we didn't do it. So Cresta Starr, the Humper Chat.
I just figured it was a creative decision. But if you too want to make a creative decision, you can creatively head over to humperchats.com, put in your creative question or comment. And if it's super creative, the creative Joel Pearl and creative Cresta Starr will read it very demure, very mindful. We get to keep a little bit more of the proceeds, very pocket watching. You know, it's very demure. It's also reminding me of Much Wolf, very wow. You know, it doesn't matter. Humperchats.com. Go there, put it in, let us have it.
We did our predictions last night after the TNA post show that we normally do for Impact. Mm-hmm. And I think we did pretty okay. There were certainly a couple of surprises. Certainly,
we did.
That came too. But yeah, overall, listen, the show was fine. The crowd may have thought differently.
Nashville crowd was like, I'm going to have fun here tonight, whether you like it or not.
Well, and the good thing is, it's not in Nashville. They're in Louisville.
Louisville, Nashville, listen, it's the South. It's the South, man.
They're in Sean Ross Sapp country. By the way, happy birthday, Sean.
Happy. I didn't know it was his birthday until I saw him tweet. Happy birthday, Sean. It was one of the best bosses I've ever had. I'm not brown nosing, I swear.
I didn't say anything. You can do whatever you want. It's your Twitter. It's your socials. You can tag them. It's fine.
I did. I did, Mr. Joseph.
Anyway, the show opened up with the countdown. Did you get a chance to watch some of this?
I watched all of it. I was ready. I was studious. I was ready. I have my notes. I even have a new notebook because my old one ran out. So we're doing pink this time, y'all.
Wow, look at that. Did you fill that entire notebook in one show?
My TNA notebook, that would be my third TNA notebook I filled with notes since I've been doing this.
Do you call it total notebook action?
A missed opportunity by Cresta Starr.
Well, it was not a missed opportunity. Was Kazarian getting a win over Kushida? No surprises here. This was the opening contest. A good match. I mean, these two have great chemistry. Mm-hmm. They work together well. They've tagged together. They worked opposite each other. This was good stuff. And I loved the finish because it was a little thing that just made the most sense to get the victory for that chicken shit heel that is Frankie Kazarian. Kushida does the arm breaker outside of the ring. The referee breaks it. Kazarian then gets in the ring, but on his way, he grabs the ring skirt. He grabs it with him, and that looks silly, but what he's doing, he's getting the referee to get out of position so that as Kushida's getting into the ring himself, Kazarian can kick the ropes and kind of kick him in the dick, which is a wonderful way to win a wrestling match, in my opinion. And while the referee is fixing the ring skirt, Kazarian hits the fade to black, gets the pinfall win, and that's easy as that. What do you think of this match overall?
Frankie Kazarian is being a piece of crap heel, and I live for it. However, making that man in the cast be your ring step was diabolical. And that was some good heel work. I'm not mad at that. I thought this match was exactly the way it needed to be. Like you said, there's two devastating moves in professional wrestling, the surprise roll up and yam back shuffle. And when you get hit with the yam back shuffle, you're taking that pinfall, or you're at least down for 20 seconds, 40 seconds, count to 90.
That's just how it works. By the way, because the SmackDown post show may or may not still be going on, as long as it is, if you send us a Humper Chat, just add TNA to yours so that Phil and Alexis aren't confused.
They'll probably read it and be like, Josh Alexander? Oh, no, girl.
I would love to see them just be like, wait, who? Dolph Ziggler? What are you? What? JBL? If they mention JBL, that's kind of the big surprise. That would get them going. But we'll talk about JBL in the main event and everything. That was a shocking moment.
We did say JBL would come out. We thought he would be a monster. And we were like, both like, nah, but there he was. Say his name and he appears. I believe in John Bradshaw Layfield. Wow. My brain said no.
John Brendry. We're backstage with Gia Miller and AJ Francis. ABC said yes to a tag title match, so that's happening tonight. Mm-hmm. And AJ said, well, can't have the other guys, so he brings in Casey Navarro. And all I say is, hell yes. Love Casey Navarro. I've interviewed him a handful of times. Not only is he a great performer, but an excellent wrestler. This is a great fit, and I hope it's not just for tonight and the TV tapings. I'd like to see this continue. What were your thoughts when you saw Casey? I don't know how familiar you are with Casey Navarro.
I'm pretty familiar with his work, not just from TNA, but I've had the pleasure of seeing him in House of Glory in New York here. I thought this was a great fit. This was someone I didn't expect. I was racking my brain. Who could they put in? And he just seems to fit in that very outlandish, we got money, we got drip, look at this. He fits in. He's like, a lot of colors work. I like what AJ Francis said to hear about a lot of colors work, gold, green, and now pink to introduce KC. Fantastic. It works. I'm here for it.
Yeah. So looking forward to that. We'll talk about that match in a little bit on the main card. And of course, the last match on the pre-show is PCO defeating Mahabali Shira. That's why they dropped his first name, Shira.
Shira, I was wondering what the hell you were saying. I was like,
Mahabali Shira was his full name in TNA. I still call him by his first and last name, but he's known as Shira here in TNA. PCO defeats him, retains his digital media championship and his heavyweight international, whatever they're calling it this week, championship from Montreal. I can't say I'm surprised that it was Shira who came in and did the show. This was a pre-show match. Everyone was getting excited for who it could be, but in my eyes, like we said on Thursday on the Impact post show, it's not going to be someone huge, I don't think. And all that we're really working on here is that Steph DeLander and PCO are still together and they're still happy. And Steph DeLander is doing the motion, which got PCO hard to do a PCO salt and get the win. That's really all I have to say about the match.
Not that she PCO'd up and got PCO hard so you could do the PCO salt. That's literally what she said, and I don't care what anyone else says. I mean, it was fine. I like Steph DeLander's makeup. It's given Halloween. You're a month too early, but I respect that you stand by your man. Also, I peeped that she had the PCO jacket on with one arm with, I think it said SDL on the side because it says PCO. I love the commitment to the bit. I was not expecting Shira. I'm glad you were. I was racking my brain again about who they could pick. But this goes back to what we talked about yesterday with TNA having a deep roster. Because Shira was not.
It was less that I was shocked. It was more like I wasn't surprised. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like this is a big get and it's a big deal that this person's coming in. It's like, oh no, it's Shira who comes in and works random enhancement matches and sometimes does explosion and that's it.
Shira works at a $1 million real estate company. I made that up. So
there's a documentary that has stuff about him, like good things. I mean, like his experience in wrestling. Yeah. And they're also in OVW territory where Shira does do quite a lot of work.
I like to spread disinformation, but fun disinformation. So if he's a real estate agent, how is that harmful?
Well, he delivers other things, just not houses. On the main card, we open up with Ultimate X. This was your shocker of the night. And this basically, remember how I told you last night, TNA does that one thing with every single show where they only do one title change? Well, when they did this one, I was like, well, it looks like we're going to keep our heavyweight champion the way that it is. Zachary Wentz captures the TNA X Division Championship, defeats Speedball Mike Bailey, Laredo Kid, Jason Hodge, Hammerstone, and NXT's Riley Osborne in a very good Ultimate X match. It was the 52nd one in the existence of TNA. You like to spread disinformation, so do I. The last 50 have been in the last 18 months in TNA.
Listen, disinformation is only funny if it's like if I said Joel is a baker, that's funny disinformation. Only not harmful disinformation. Joel likes to break a lot of bread. Ask him to bake you a loaf of bread next time you see him.
Not good at it, so good luck with that. This match was exactly what Ultimate X does.
Yes.
It was everyone got a good spot. Everyone got to do their big moments, their big flips, their big dives. Laredo Kid gets yeeted by Alexander Hammerstone from the second rope to the floor. Jason Hotch, God bless, does a low blow on Hammerstone because everyone deserves to kick in the dick in every single match you can do. Even Riley Osborne gets in on the fun, not only hitting topes, but also doing a swinging shooting star press from the X onto the field. There's some good stuff. Speedball, we get to the finish. Speedball goes to the ultimate weapon on Osborne. This kind of breaks down until Wentz and Speedball are fighting on top of the X, and then Wentz kicks at Speedball until he drops down, does Speedball, and Zachary Wentz wins. He's got a big weekend ahead. He's working the TV tapings tomorrow night, so you'll hear from him on Thursday because of those tapings, but Sunday live on Peacock is the NXT PLE where Wes Lee and now the new TNA X Division champion Zachary Wentz will be fighting. Makes sense to have the X Division Championship show up on the PLE. I think that's nice exposure for TNA if we do that. But big weekend for Zach Wentz and a very shocking defeat for Speedball in his first month as champion. He had a couple defenses, but this is the one that he was most prepped for and he lost. What'd you think?
I want to give... I can't believe I'm about to say this. I want to give Jason Hotch his flowers because I feel like he showed out this match. He did everything that I wanted to do, the dick punches, being a smarmy piece of crap, but he also was giving it up in the ring. Hotch was really, 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 really wrestling tonight. So I know he's a good hand, ha, 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 but I got to give Hotch his flowers. Also, the spot where they were all up on the X and then Hammerstone literally reminded me. Ever played Donkey Kong 64?
Have I? Of course I have.
Yes. He reminded me of big ass Chonky Kong trying to get on the stage. Everyone like, hey, get out of here. He's just kicking people off one by one. That spot was really, really good. I'm so happy for Zach Wentz. I think him winning here was a nice shock. I thought here Speedball was definitely going to retain. But I'm not mad at Wentz. And like you said, it does make a lot of sense if you have that championship. Something that they put over on commentary is synonymous with TNA. It's one of their marquee matches. You know TNA for their X Division, their Ultimate X, and maybe King of the Mountain. And if you're really old, the Octagon Ring. But these are things that are synonymous with them. So I love how this all played out. The match itself was fantastic. Also, it was an X Division match. I was not going to be disappointed.
Yeah, they did everything they were supposed to do. Someone asking in the chat, did they maybe make the Sunday match at NXT an X Division match, X Division Championship match? They haven't announced it. They could do it. I personally do not think they will. And Ryan Lambert just sent a super chat saying just as much. Do they make the match on Sunday an X Division title match? Again, they could. I don't see a reason to do it because this feud is not about the title. It is about the Rascals experience. It's about the story of Wesley and the story of Zachary Wentz, who was Nash Carter, and everything that happened to him and to their tag team at MSK in NXT. They don't really have a reason to do it. And as someone points out in the chat, Wentz is going to appear on Thursday as the champion. So this is that weird trying to match up TV tapings with your live shows. You can't really do it as easily because Charlie Dempsey didn't show up with the Heritage Cup on that episode of NXT recently where he is the Heritage Cup champion, but you don't know because he won it after the tapings.
Fair. I mean, the only way that works is if, for whatever reason, Wes says, I want to take everything from you, Zach, but then Zach has to win that match. That's the only thing.
Oh, that's great. I'm going to see something. We'll talk about it when we get there.
I don't want to see that.
It's going to be something you don't really want to see. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be for the title. If they do Wesley versus Zachary Wentz, it's a blood feud. It is a blood feud right now. And then if they really want to do it, it's a down the line later on, Bound for Glory, if they want to go that far with it. Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah, okay.
We'll see where it lands. I'm curious, but I don't think they'll make it an X Division championship match on Sunday. If I'm wrong,
I don't think so either. If they do, I feel like Wesley has to lose. He has to lose. And I don't think there's anything wrong with your X Division champion pinning someone on NXT, especially with these guys with a history. And I think that's a great look for TNA. It's about the goodwill, and there seems to be a lot of goodwill partnership between TNA and NXT. I think they'll find a way around it, but I agree with Joel in the sense that there's no need to make this an X Division championship match.
Yeah, so let's see how they do it with next week and how it plays out on Thursday or tomorrow if you're going to be looking at the TV taping spoilers like I do.
I don't read.
Yeah, I've told people that I do. You don't read at all?
I don't read at all.
Never. No,
I've never read a day in my life.
Steve Macklin defeats Eric Young. This match was really good. And you know how you know a match is really good? When these two guys, you can tell that Macklin and Eric Young were having the time of their life working with each other, and they did it in the most acting way possible. And I mean that in the way that everything was just serious, and they were so bought into it, and they were so old school in the way they did this presentation that it worked. And we're going to talk about a 60-minute Ironman match and whether or not people have the attention span to actually sit through one when we get to it. But this was a match that, you know, did not overstay its welcome, but it did have a slow start and a slow build, but people were in for it. And I really like this match, like I said I would. And this is coming from a guy who doesn't love slow plotting matches all the time, but I love stories. And boy, did these two tell a story in the ring. Macklin eventually gets the win with the jackknife. He just goes, as EY's going for a second pile driver, Macklin just floats on over, gets the jackknife pin. They shake hands at the end. Everyone's hunky-dory. I'm sure this will get picked up later on, but this was good stuff. You want to break it down? Please go ahead.
I like this match. These were two pissed men. On the outside looking at... No. I'm answering in kayfabe. Screw that. I had a great time. These were two pissed men being pissed at each other, slapping the nipples off of each other. This match was stiff. Macklin was working. And no matter what he threw at Eric Young does this face where he's like, almost like that Shinsuke Nakamura. Come on. Like, you could never. This match was so good. I gotta give shout outs to the Scud where old boy missed, and like not missed, but Macklin looked like he almost died with that Scud dive to the outside. I gotta give him props to that. The look on Eric Young's face after Macklin essentially rolled him up again, the two most devastating moves in professional wrestling, the yambag shuffle and the surprise roll up. He looked at him like, did you really just roll me up after we slapped that? I'll shake your damn hand, but you got to respect it.
You had no choice but to respect it. And even Macklin was taken aback. He was like, yeah, I did that. Yeah, I did that.
Macklin was so good here.
He was. And the shoulder cell got me. I'm hoping he's fine. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, he ate shit off the Scud, which every time he does it, I'm like, oh, Christ, something's going to happen one day and I'm going to be very upset. He did his cell was doing the checking his fingers and his shoulder with his, and he kept doing it throughout the match. So it was good. And I just hope that's all he was doing was being an excellent seller. And we're not going to, you know, hopefully we don't find out later that it's worse. But this was good. People were into it. People were buying into it. And honestly, one of the funniest moments in the entire match is when they get face to face and the crowd starts chanting kiss.
And then Reiwa on commentary, the crowd's right. When you get that close, you either gotta kiss or fight. Like, yo, Ray, tonight was hell for Top Head.
And it's supposed to be, are they gonna fight or are they gonna F? And he couldn't use the other word.
Well, I mean, honestly, if he would have kissed him, I think I would have sports entertained even further than I would. I could see Eric Young going.
I can see Macklin doing it.
It's just a full-on kiss. Where's Effie? Effie?
Go out of your way to watch this match. This match it's just really solid wrestling, and it's going to mean something down the line. Yeah. Someone in the chat, Ryan, saying I'm all for more guys kissing and wrestling. I hear that from you often, and this was the match for you. This was a good match. Go and see it. No hug at the end. Macklin did not hug EY. Like he did Santana, but this was a good match. Go watch it.
It was.
Jordynne Grace and Spitfire defeat Masha Lisha and Ash by Elegance. This match was it was cut short. We'll get another super chat from Ryan saying, let's break up the system. Also, I hope Alicia is okay. So the second part is really what we're focused on right now. Mm-hmm. During the match, actually towards the very, very beginning, Jody Threat does a flip dive and Lisha Edwards kind of throws her head back in the cell, and I guess she knocks herself out. Dani Luna follows up, and the dive is only on Masha Slamovich and Ash by Elegance. And then Jordynne Grace does the tease, and she turns it into a comedy spot, which I thought, by the way, this very smart of Jordynne. She knew what she was doing. She slowed it down. She got out of the ring, off the apron, and they went to go pick up Lish, and then they realized, she's out. Medical came to check on her. Medical did end up carrying her to the back. So Alicia Edwards was taken out of the match. She appears to be okay. Sean Ross Sapp had reported that she's shaken up, but seems to be okay, which is good. I know TNA is going to update via their socials as to how she is and what's going to happen next. They haven't yet, but we'll keep an eye on that. But so far from what Sean had reported, she's okay. Hopefully it's nothing. I hope that it's not even as bad as getting your bell rung. We all just hope she's okay. This match did have to change as a result. Jody Threat gets the win, pinning Ash by Elegance after the pop shove. It feels like it was supposed to be Jody pinning Lisha Edwards, which is what you and I had talked about on the Thursday show. But instead, Ash misses the rarefied air, pop shove it, Jody gets the win. There's not much else to talk about in this match because things changed so drastically due to Alicia Edwards being taken out. It just felt like they kind of mishmashed it. So I don't know if you want to add anything to this.
Oh, I do. First, I hope Alicia is okay because that was gnarly and I felt so bad for her. But secondly, if I'm going to be up here and I talk crap, I'm also going to give people their flowers. I got to give Ash by Elegance her flowers this match. She stepped all the way up, and I feel like every week I'm like, I just want a little bit more. I want a little bit more. And tonight, a consummate professional, because calling it on the fly is one thing. Like, that is, I got to give her all her flowers because she looked damn good. There were times in the match where I thought Ash by Elegance was Alicia Edwards. I was like, when did Lish come back out here? She did the damn thing. I have to give her flowers. She really did that tonight because I've seen Grace and them call things on the fly before. And I feel like maybe she's not being allowed to run. I'm trying to find anything. You know what I mean? But tonight I saw it and you ate that, Ash by Elegance. So here's your flowers. You deserve that. You ate that. I got to give her flowers. And also taking that pop shove, it looked nasty. I'm sorry. Jody just worked stiff. And you couldn't pay me to take that.
She is. She's special, man. I've said it before. I've watched Jody in the wrestling industry in Ontario, in Toronto especially. Seen her for a long time, and I know how good she is and how great she can be. On the Ash by Elegance front, you and I were talking about this offline, and there's a story that's been told multiple times when Ash was a part, or when she was Dana Brooke in WWE, she would take her off time and she would go to the performance center and she would be learning literally everything she could about the wrestling business, not just in the ring, but she'd learn to set up the ring. She'd learn how to produce matches, time matches. She wanted to get involved. She wanted to learn. She was going out of her way to do these things. What was unfortunate for Dana Brooke was that she was wrestling at a time when you had Charlotte, Bayley, Sasha, and Becky. And they were the people that all of the attention was behind. That's just a victim of circumstance. She is a solid wrestler. Ash is not the best wrestler in the world, and I'm not going to sit here and try and blow smoke up anyone's butt and say, you know, she should be number one on everyone's highest ranking wrestler list. If she is for you, amazing. I'm glad that you like her and I'm glad you support her. That being said, she's very good. And I wish more people would understand that she has worked very hard to get better and that she does little things that really do work. I understand the character sometimes turn people off, including us, and we talked about it. But when she comes to work and she's got her working shoes on, they're not boots because she wears very silvery, shiny shoes. Good for her. Then it's good. And I think more people need to understand that she's not a meme anymore and that she is a very solid wrestler. And that it's okay for a wrestler, by the way, to move up and down the card. Go check out my interview with Macklin. It is a journey. You do move up and down the card based on what's going on around you. And Ash can do that.
I will also say, to piggyback off of what Joel said, because I said this offline too, and the same problem she had in WWE is the same problem she now has in TNA, because yeah, you can be great, but there's still a Jordynne Grace, a Masha Slamovich, a Giselle Shaw. The knockouts division is incredibly deep. In fact, it's one of the deeper women's divisions in North America that people consistently point to when we talk about who puts on consistent, really well put together, well-rounded women's matches and stories. They always look to the knockouts division. So I'm giving her all of her flowers, all the respect, because I'm not going to say no names, and I watch a lot of wrestling, but there was someone who was at the Federation who was getting yelled at where to stand when they had to call it on the fly. So yeah, or even if they rehearsed it. So I will say, get you. So
she's very good. She's very good. We'll see what they do with it next. I'm looking, they're doing the injury update. So if somebody wants to tell me what it is, they did one on PCO and they did one on Alicia Edwards. I think they said PCO has some sort of head injury, which is pretty par for the course.
That's crazy, because he's a zombie. So how?
But I think something about putting him on injured reserve. But again, some of this is kayfabe, and some of this is okay. They're both on per concussion protocol. I've been up since 5:30 this morning, so you're gonna have to cut me some slack. My words are lacking.
I love you. It's fine, Joel. I never know how to speak. I don't read or speak, so I've never watched wrestling either, so it's fine.
It's all how it works. Tag titles on the line. Ace of Bays defeat First Class. No surprise here, but this match was very solid. Again, a big showcase for Casey Navarro. I'm telling you, he's up next. He's another guy who is just, we talk about Santana. He's up next, but Casey is. Casey's a guy who I don't understand how he hasn't been snapped up by one of the companies yet. He's there.
Yeah.
He plays cocky heel perfectly. Like you mentioned earlier, this is a great fit for him. Meanwhile, the crowd is chanting, "You can't wrestle at AJ Francis." And I'm like, come on, man, we've gone past this. Towards the finish, Quadzilla, Ace Austin, finally hits AJ with the fireman's carry drop. Ace hits the fold. Casey gets a tornado DDT on Ace, but then Bay rolls up Casey for the win. Happily, AJ Francis did not turn on Casey and make this a one-night affair, but this match was solid. It was good stuff. Ace of Bays, they retained the tag titles. Give me your thoughts.
So the crowd, the crowd tonight, from this moment on, the crowd said, "I'm having fun. I don't care what's happening." Chanting, "You can't wrestle." And then people later chanting, "Yes, you can." Diabolical. But also, I think AJ was playing into this, because to me, he was playing like a lumbering heel at some point to let Casey shine, which I respected. Maybe I'm looking too much into it, but that's what I perceived. You were being a tad more silly than normal to let Casey really shine, because the Tranquilo took me out. That was fantastic. Quadzilla picking up AJ Francis. I was like, boy, you better put him down. And when he fell the first time, I was like, okay, that's not it. But he said, no, I'm going back for seconds. I'm still hungry. I'm picking up AJ Francis. That took me out, because whether you like AJ Francis or not, that's a large, L-O-R-G-E. That's a large man. And Ace Austin is large wide-wise, but he's not large AJ Francis-wise. And oof. That visual was gnarly, so I'm not mad. Also, poor AJ Francis getting the visual pin for 20 seconds, and the ref is like, what are you doing? You're not even the legal guy. Get out. I thought he was being a little bit silly. I wasn't mad.
I'm a fairly big dude. I'm 6 feet. I'm thick. Like, you can tell, like, I'm broad. AJ Francis is taller than me and he is thicker than me. and I've sat next to him and I felt dwarfed, and that is just a proof of how big he is. He's not super giant, but like, he's a very, very large boy. Very good.
Seen AJ Francis in real life. He's a large.
And I'm taller than a lot of wrestlers. Like I am, and I'm not making fun of anybody. It's just, I am taller than a lot of wrestlers. You see him in the interviews that I do. There are a few that are actually taller than me. Effie's one of them, right off the top of my head. But one of the only people that I've actually had to raise the microphone to would AJ Francis.
Sanjo Pearl, like, can I get...
There are very few. I'm trying to rack my head. It's never been anyone who's been like, where I've had to like readjust the camera and have them pointed in a different direction just to get the shots.
For what it's worth, I'm taller than quite a few people too, and I'm 5'7". And that's a lie. I'm actually 6'7". Disinformation.
Are you sure? Final answer.
Final answer. 7'3". 7'3".
Well, you know what? Use your 5'7" self to go subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. The best $5 in the business. We have a lot of news dropping ahead of WWE Bash in Berlin. We had some news on TNA Emergence tonight, including someone who was backstage from WWE. I mean, listen, it's one of the wrestlers. It's one of their girlfriends / wives. She's on the main roster. But who knows? Tomorrow night, Jordynne Grace does have an open challenge, and maybe that person's going to be sticking around. Who knows? Regardless, plenty of information and news on WBD and AEW and their relationship. Plenty of news on the Swerve Strickland contract. He's got a new one with AEW, and there's some reaction and a lot to talk about. The best $5 in the business. The news from the source. Go get it for $5 a month over at FightfulSelect.com. If you haven't yet, I don't know what to tell you. The aggregators, some of them are great, but there are a lot of ones that are not. So get it right. Get it first. Go to FightfulSelect.com.
Why settle for the imitation? Get real crab.
I'm fine with imitation crab. Like if it's on my sushi, it's fine. You know, don't care. The fake crab's okay. But you can get the real stuff. And if you get the real stuff, sometimes it just tastes better. And we give it to you at a very affordable price. How's that?
King crab for $5.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask New People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
I have...
Don't pay $5 a king crab.
Can I tell my King Crab story on the air? Have we told this story before?
No, but I feel like if you have a crustacean story, I would like to share one back at you.
Would the chat be upset if I shared a King Crab story?
Type 1 in chat if you'd be upset. Type 2 in chat if you want to hear this.
This is a very in the weeds story, but I don't know who would actually want to hear this. I've seen people in the chat who are typically watching us on Fightful Overbooked, our sister channel, by the way, where I host a show with Jeremy Lambert called In the Weeds, where we spend 2 hours. We're a morning show, so we can go off on these tangents. Normally, these post shows, not so much. Go ahead, tell us about your craft.
I saw that and I died. Like, not the craft, not the ball work.
For the audio listeners, just fast forward for the next few seasons. 2 is what they're doing in the show.
Unless you want to hear about crustaceans, because it's going to be 2 stories back to back.
It's just a very weird story. So I used to work on cruise ships as a musician. I worked professionally as a musician. And one of my first cruise ship gigs was with a band that was very thrown together. And I was the last man to join because I was a last minute addition. I knew nobody in the band. The keyboard player and I, we roomed together and we did fine. But he was like 45 going on 13. Mentally, something was missing. So anyway, we get to Hong Kong because we're doing that area of the world. We're doing China and we're doing Japan and South Korea and Singapore and some beautiful places. Loved it. So we got to Hong Kong and we decided we do the boys in the band would go out for lunch. So we decide to walk around Hong Kong and we find an authentic Chinese restaurant where it's a wedding themed restaurant. And it says, congratulations, Edie and Cola. Don't know who they are, but that's the theme of the restaurant, is a wedding. They go, we sit down, they dust off literally the only English food menu in the place. We're in Hong Kong. Where the what do you expect? And then we look through and we order the thing. And the keyboard player, who has a very gruff voice, and again, 45 going on 13, talks about, oh, I'm going to order the King Crab. The King Crab looks delicious. You know, me and my ma, we go to, he's from outside of Philly. He's from small town, Pennsylvania. Me and my ma, we go to Hooters and we watch the Eagles games every Sunday. And I order the King Crab and I'm like, freeze. The 3 things in that sentence that make no sense. Hooters, mom, King Crab.
Hooters sell King Crab?
That's news to me.
Oh, so we lying.
So he orders the King Crab and I ordered what I wanted and everyone else did. And we all loved our dishes. We had great, it was good stuff. It was delicious. I wish if I could find this place again, I would go. I would go back to Hong Kong just to do it. Anyway, he gets his King Crab and it comes in a big bowl. It's like a $20 dish and it comes in a big bowl and they take the top off and staring back at him is the head of the crab because that is how the presentation goes. And it's not a live head. It's just the top shell of the King Crab. And it looks delicious. And I'm like, that looks great. And he's just like, oh, I don't think I like this. I don't want to eat this. And everyone at the table is like, buddy, you got this. You purchased this. Don't throw away $20 just because it looks bad. And I think he had like 2 bites. He's like, I don't like this. And I don't know who ate it in the end because this was like 10, 15 years ago now. But yes, the King Crab story where I don't know what he was thinking going to Hooters with his mom to have King Crab.
You know, I think he went to Hooters with his mom to have King Crab just as much as I have been Intercontinental Champion 46 times over the course of the past 400 years.
Anyway, that story that I just told.
Tell me what I'm telling lies. Right now, Crystal, right now. You're telling lies right now.
That story that I just told. I don't know if you're going to one-up me.
It's not. Yours is way better. Mine is just tomfoolery on my stream because I forgot to mute. So back to back, I was ordering food because it was the end of my stream. I think we were watching AEW or SmackDown or whatever it was. And normally I mute because my chat is full of trolls. And we were ordering from our local diner. I was like, I want fish and chips. For whatever reason, there was an option to jazz up your dinner with a lobster. And I'm like, why would you offer a whole lobster with fish and chips? That doesn't make any sense. One of my viewers was like, but hold on, how much is the lobster? How much is it to jazz up your dinner with a lobster? I'm like, it's $20, but I don't want to jazz up my dinner with a lobster. I get a ping for a donation of $20. Now I got to order the damn lobster. I don't know if you ever seen that SNL skit about ordering dying a lobster. You just don't do it.
Don't do it.
So I'm thinking, okay, how bad could it be? It's show with some butter and some Old Bay. It's already been purchased, and I can't just pocket the $20. That'd make me a bastard, okay? So we get the food. The fish and chips are fine. We get the lobster. The lobster is not cut or anything. They literally put a whole lobster in hot water, put it in a tin, and sent it to me. When I opened up that lobster, my whole house smelled like the Hudson River. We couldn't even cut into it. We cut into it, and it was so brown. I was like, you know what? I'm sorry you wasted your $20, but it stunk my whole house up so bad. We had to open up the freaking windows in the middle of winter.
I'm sorry. They didn't give you did it have the shell still on it?
Yes, they literally put the... They said, here, lobster, hot water. There you go. Hey, take it out. Hey, right.
Did they at least give you the cracker, like the things?
They said, if you're dumb enough to order dying lobster, you get what you get.
True, they really did just, yeah, they proved their point. Jesus Christ.
I mean, at this point, I just need a lobster emote. So now whenever I go out to places, you want to jazz up your dinner with a lobster.
Oh my God, that hurts. By the way, lobster rolls, if you're going to get them down in like Maine or somewhere that actually is known for lobster.
New York City's got good lobster rolls, but that was a diner lobster.
Yeah, but those lobsters are coming from the Hudson. So
I mean, yeah. As a New Yorker, if someone says New York is dirty, I have. If someone says the Hudson River is dirty, I'm like.
Anyway, speaking of dirty, the next match was not for me. System and JDC defeat the Hardys, Hendry, and Santana. Sure.
That ending was dirty. That's what I didn't like about it the most, but I had fun with this match.
Okay, so let's go with the good stuff. The first of all, the mashup between the Hardys and the Hendry, the entrance video and everything, good stuff. Great stuff. Very entertaining, very fun. The match was good in terms of the workmanship. The Hendry and Hardys, they work together well. Santana's there. He's doing his part. Everyone's good at their jobs, but I've never cared less for the system than I do right now, personally. And then we've talked about it. I like the system. I just don't like what the fuck we're doing right now with them. Part of my F-bomb.
You sound like me when what was that other group that Eddie Edwards was with? I was like, yo, get off my screen, please.
Honor No More.
Oh!
That's on Thursdays before our show now. Even though most of them work for TNA. Anyway, the point is, let me give you the final part of the match, because this is what happens every time. Santana hits a nasty spin the block on Moose. Myers hits the roster, or someone takes out Moose. Then Myers hits the roster cut on Santana. Facebuster Swanton Bomb from Jeff on Brian Myers. JDC hits a Falcon Arrow on Jeff Hardy. Then the standing ovation from Joe Hendry on JDC. Then a standing blue thunderbomb on Joe Hendry from Eddie Edwards. Matt Hardy comes in, hits a twist of fate on Edward Edwards before Moose breaks up the pin. Edwards kicks him, Matt Hardy, in the dick, as one does, because that's number three for the night. And then the Boston Tea Party gets the win for the system. I am so done, Cresta Star, with having matches that end with everyone doing a big move or their finisher, and then the next person comes in and they hit their finisher on the person who just hit the finisher, and we do-si-do until we get to the finish. Please stop doing it. It is such a staple. It is such a staple of every company's tag match. It's not even like a WWE or an AEW or this is everyone. It needs to stop. You don't need to do this.
I'm not mad at it, but like you said, I expect it. If it's more than a tag match, I know I'm getting your finisher and your finisher and your finisher and your finisher and your finisher.
It's Oprah doing, you get a finisher and you get a finisher. Everybody gets a finisher. And I'm,
except for you, you get kicked in the dick and you get pinned.
Technically, that person is just a winner in my books.
A wiener.
Nice. Nice. You use the thing. Good stuff.
I mean, you're not wrong. 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 This match, I was sports entertained because I am thoroughly in love with Joe Hendry. And also, Santana beating up Eddie Edwards, keeping the New York City Boston beef alive. You love to see it. You love to see it, baby. To me, the match was fine. I was sold from the Matt Hardy, Jeff Hardy, Joe Hendry mashup. I believe in Jeff Hardy. Then people call him Brother Joseph. He looked like, and I tweeted this, he looked like Fred from Scooby-Doo hanging out with the goth kids. Because even Santana looked like he fitted with the goth kids. I lived. I thought this match was great. I did not agree with the results. Glad that the system is not wearing America USA colors anymore. They got that shirt, but whatever. It's merch, whatever. But the system could have lost here. I feel the system. And why are we still pinning the Hardys? Yes, I know they're almost as old as I am. But why are we pinning the Hardys? The system. JDC could have took that pin. Meyer Edge's bitch could have took that pin. Eddie Edwards could have took that. Even Moose. I understand you want to keep Moose strong. I don't understand why they had to lose.
Yeah, in a few minutes, we'll talk about why Moose has to be kept strong for this match. Because in the main event for the TNA World Championship, it's an Iron Man match, 60 minutes. Nick Nemeth defeats Josh Alexander. They do the thing, again, that a lot of Iron Man matches do, where you get to the end, and that's when the finish hits. And we're tied up until we get the most drama going. Uh-huh. This match was good. This was fine. It's very hard to do a 60-minute Iron Man match where the crowd and the people at home are invested for the entire time. And it took them until about 30 minutes until they started really to ramp things up. And because of that, the crowd started to go into business for themselves.
Oh, did they ever?
And the crowd started doing every other wrestler's chant. They did everything from Enzo Amore. They did Yeet, they did the LA Knight chant, they did I Believe in Nick Nemeth. They did so many chants to get themselves over. It was cute, but also it was like, this is supposed to be super serious world title match, and it's an Iron Man match, blah blah blah. Nick Nemeth wins 3-2. He goes up 2-0 in the first half of the match, and then Josh Alexander comes back from behind with some cheating, and they do the referee goes down spot. Daniel Spencer gets knocked down with 20 minutes to go. And that's when a table gets set up and you do a kick in the dick as one does. And then they hit a C4 and that's the first pin. And then you do another C4 spike and he ties it up. And then the match was, again, there was really good stuff in here. I do think you should go and watch the match. It was just, it's a long match. You have to be wanting to watch a 60-minute Iron Man match to get through it. And then at the end, they're both trading each other's finishers. Alexander does the knick-knack, which I'm going to call the Josh Nosh, and that is a near fall. And
I went to cough and I muted. Almost spit up phlegmy. The Josh.
And then there was a lawn dart into the exposed turnbuckle, which was exposed earlier in the match. And I'm glad this is the one thing they did really well in this match, because they know how to wrestle, is that they did some callbacks. They brought out a table at one point, and Yee who set it up went through it. Josh Alexander set it up. He got to go through the table. The lawn dart from the exposed turnbuckle, that was done. It was exposed earlier in the match, so they used it much later in the match. Nemeth hits a knick-knack and a six, and then he hits a C4 spike of his own, takes the lead with like 20 seconds to go. And then they tried to like sell us on the last 10 seconds being, you know, oh, Josh can get back. And then Josh just topples over and that's the end of the match. So it felt a little anticlimactic at the end. It was just that the timer was the only, that's my nitpicky thing. But otherwise, this match was solid. This match was good. It was just a little, the pacing was a little off because they decided to back load the match. So the last half hour is when you need to pay attention. Shout out, by the way, to the crowd chanting Night Night Baldy during the sleeper spot. That was great. Thank you.
I will say the crowd was, it was the best of crowds. It was the worst of crowds. That's the best way to put it. Cause when they were awful, the worst, when they were funny, Night Night Baldy. The USA chants with corny. Like, as an American, it's a little embarrassing right now. It's a little embarrassing. But also, you know what it was when they were chanting, "You couldn't wrestle at AJ Styles." That's not AJ Styles. Oof, AJ Francis. That's just so rude. I too did not write anything for 30 minutes. My back was hurting. I felt the scoliosis. So I was doing yoga stretches. But I'm not for nothing. Any match that says, I've got an hour, I know for at least 20 minutes, unless you guys dead hate each other, There's nothing going to happen. And also, unfortunately, TNA has the curse of that Jay Lethal and Ric Flair promo. Because every time I hear 60 Minutes, I'm like, you don't know anything about 60 Minutes in the bedroom or in the ring. So I don't even want to see this chicken shit match. It was a good match. Honestly, I'm not mad at Josh Alexander hitting Nick Nemeth with a foreign object. C4 spike, pin him, roll him over. C4, I would do that as many times as the law would allow. That's real smart heel work. I got to give that the shout out too. Also, I agree with you at the end too, when you tried to make us believe there was some seconds. That's like at a basketball game when there's 30 seconds on the clock and it's going really fast. And the enemy, not the enemy team, but I don't watch sports. So the enemy team is just scrolling. The opposing team is just scrolling. What are you going to do? Try to chuck it? He would have to literally Brian Pillman it on his man, but then he'd get disqualified. So, you know, I don't know. After all that shit Josh Alexander spoke, for you to fumble the bag here, ooh, I know you mad. I know you mad. And he knocked off your headgear. I know you mad. I can't wait.
And he took him out with his own finisher.
I can't wait to see what kind of heel shenanigans Josh has. I know you're mad because you said I won't lose to a sports entertainer. You know what that was? That was that Mick Foley promo. It was like, if you think I'm going to lay there and get hit by an elbow, that's you're dumber than I am. Well, I can't wait for Josh to be upset and delusional. Delusional Josh is going to be great.
Well, we have delusional Josh, but on the other hand, we have Nick Nemeth, who is still the TNA world champion. And then after the show, this is after the show went off the air, so you probably haven't seen this yet. Nick Nemeth got his opponent for Victory Road in 2 weeks.
Is it JBL? Because I saw JBL come out.
Well, we're going to talk about JBL in a second. We got a super chat from Dobby the Brain Heenan earlier saying Moose versus Nick Nemeth was just announced for Victory Road. I wonder how they felt JBL will be involved in all this or how he will be. Should be a great main event regardless, though. Fun night. So let's dig in. At the end of the show, as he's celebrating, Nick Nemeth is confronted by JBL. JBL comes down in his big long duster and his cowboy hat. He gets into the ring. He looks at Nick Nemeth. And commentary makes reference to the fact that JBL and Nick Nemeth were together in Mexico for Triple Mania not too long ago. JBL did walk Nemeth down to the ring for his championship match, which Nemeth lost. Doesn't matter to who. Don't look it up. Don't worry about it. It's not important. So JBL is in TNA, recently made an appearance in GCW. That was weird. JBL's on a weird thing where he's coming around and just being the last outlaw, which I feel like is somebody in AEW who did that, and ain't he great? What are we doing with JBL? He's not wrestling. He doesn't want to wrestle. He's already said it. He's not here to wrestle. He's here to, I guess, elevate young talent. Nick Nemeth is not that young. So I don't know what we're doing. I want your thoughts on the JBL appearance, because I'm sure you were equally shocked.
I was shocked, and Pile Driver Finisher, apparently we got heat because he's like, sorry, my roommate had to expel his nose. But Pile Driver's like, Cresso, you saw all that smack. You said you're going to time me out yesterday. I thought, and that's where the sentence stops. I thought incorrectly. JBL being there, I was confused, sports confused. But also, why he look like Walker Texas Ranger, just buff and older? I don't know. That's just me. Maybe it's the duster and the hat, but I don't know. He say he's not there to wrestle. Okay. But then I don't know. I don't want to put any high hopes into it because right now, if I'm being completely honest with you, TNA has starting and dropping a lot of storylines, looking at you, Kushida and Jonathan Gresham, and dragging things out that shouldn't be dragged out, looking at you, system. Or they got to pivot. So I don't know. First class, but that's not what happened. Nick Nemeth. So we got the WWE. I have no idea. I don't think, baby. Thinking is ghetto. I don't think.
If JBL joins the system, I'm going to quit.
I mean, if JBL joined the system, that would be par for the course because that makes a lot of sense.
You would need a new co-host. Will Chisholm sent a super chat saying JBL popping himself with a half independent run kind of pops me. I get it, man. I get it.
He saw Frankie Kazarian being an uncle. He's like, me too.
So I'm going to bring this up on the screen because this is actually really funny. JBL about to, quote, make wrestling great again. I don't know if you don't. So I'm just going to say this here. When, God, I can't believe this, talk about this guy. Bruce Pritchard came back to Impact once upon a time when Bruce Pritchard wasn't working for WWE and he was getting really popular by doing his podcast, Something to Wrestle. Mm-hmm. This was while he was doing the, you know, telling stories about his time in WWE before he was hired back in 2019 and yada, yada, yada. It was 2018. Anyway, during that time, Bruce was brought in to work with Impact while Impact was kind of undergoing their changes and trying to figure things out. And Jeff Jarrett was involved and so was Bruce. And I'll never forget, Bruce started calling Impact, his battle cry was like, Miga, make Impact great again.
I don't think
that was Bruce Pritchard trying to, that was his battle cry. And this was at the time when someone else was saying something else that was close to Miga, but it was much more,
that's like you say, I don't think that
it was much more detrimental to a country. But regardless of that, that's what it, if JBL comes in and he wants to do something like that, I don't want that, and I would like to not have to think about this.
Yeah, I'm gonna say it for Joel, Miga is too close to,
oh, they knew.
It's just a little, you know, it's a little,
they knew.
And not for nothing, JBL, there was a time, I remember there was a character you used to play that was a little bit like, dum, 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 dum.
Like, look this up, by the way. If you, I know y'all aren't going to be like, you're lying. But like, you can look this up. If you look up Miga Bruce Pritchard, don't put a T in his name, but put a T in his back. That was his gimmick back in the day. It's there.
Yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and say I would rather him be an outlaw or do something like, I don't know, but Miga ain't it. That's who.
I don't think they're going to do anything like that. I just think that it's, you know, I'm just saying if JBL comes in and that's kind of the portrayal of the character that he has, not into it. This maybe will be JBL coming in for the TV tapings for the next 2 weeks. There's only one. There's a TV taping tomorrow night. That's going to cover 2 weeks and then we're at Victory Road. I don't necessarily think JBL will be at Victory Road. I could be wrong. I assume if he is, then they're just playing off whatever this story is with Nemeth, because he came down, said something to Nick Nemeth. Again, he accompanied Nick Nemeth down to the ring at Triple Mania, and they made reference to it on commentary. I hope that if they're going to do the Triple A crossover, it's not going to be going back to Nick Nemeth's opponent from Triple Mania. Again, don't look it up, it's not important, but I'm hoping they're not going that way, and that they're more just bringing out the fact that JBL and Nemeth have a history together. I hope that's all it is.
I don't even know where this could go. Because JBL out here doing independent things. He's not under a WWE contract. Nemeth, like, this has nothing to do with anything. I don't even know if he would manage him. Nemeth don't need someone to talk for him. You know what I mean? And if you're not here to wrestle.
Oh, crap. Dobby the Brain Heenan reminded us that Victory Road's in Texas. Ugh.
Yeehaw! This ain't Texas.
He doesn't even live in, anyway, it's in San Antonio. Does he?
I used to live in Texas many moons ago.
I don't think he still lives there, though. Pretty sure he lives in, like, I don't remember where. It's not important. I'm done. Anyway, so that's Emergence. This was a show that definitely existed, and we're going to be back. Well, we're here every Thursday, but we'll be back doing another one of these when Victory Road happens. That's Friday, September 13th. So that's in 2 weeks. We are going to be here to talk about that show. But until then, Cresta, what you got going on?
All I got is tears and wrestling and jabroniism. So tomorrow, if you want more jabroniism from your girl, Cresta Star, I'll be live with Rick. We're going to be doing Collision, baby. We're going to be watching that. And then on Sunday, I will be live for Bash at Berlin. I'm going to stream live myself on Cresta Star, twitch.tv, or TikTok. And Wednesdays, you know the deal, same place. I'm live every Thursday here on Fightful with your boy, Joel Pearl, the guy next to me this way. We just happen to do, almost said Survivor Series. My brain is turning off. Emergence tonight. You can follow me anywhere on social media, Cresta Starr, C-R-E-S-T-A-S-T-A-R-R, except for Twitter, X, it's Cresta the Star, like Megan the Stallion. Joel Pearl, where can the people find you?
Well, they finally started posting matches for Collision tomorrow night, so have fun looking at those, because that took a while. Anyway, not important. We're here every Thursday, and we talk about TNA. And then whenever there's a special or a pay-per-view, we're here to talk about that too. If you want more of me, first of all, what's wrong with you? Second of all, you can go to Fightful Overbooked and you can check out myself and Jeremy Lambert. We go in the weeds every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This coming Monday, because it's the first Monday of the month, we're going to be live on this channel, youtube.com/Fightful, because we do our monthly Monday takeover every first Monday of the month at 10 a.m. Eastern. We'll probably be talking about this show, Bash in Berlin. We'll talk about the New Japan card from tonight, Capital Collision, and of course, NXT No Mercy. We'll have plenty to go over. And until then, I am at Joel Pearl, J-O-E-L-P-E-A-R-L. Leave a thumbs up on the way out. But ladies and gentlemen, friends beyond the binary, we'll see you in the next one. Cheers.
Bye.
Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families. If Moreno is elected senator, he'll push to eliminate diversity, equality, and inclusion programs as part of the racist MAGA Republican Project 2025. We've come too far to let extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. MAGA Moreno is a mega mistake for Ohio. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. Paid for by Win Senate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.